BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today as we take a look at this generation. So often on Crosstalk, we address what's happening in our society, and it's progressively getting worse. The topics, it seems, are getting more and more intense. It's taking down a pathway that it's leading toward a very destructive pathway. And while it should not surprise us, it's very disheartening to see the choices and the direction that many are taking and many are making, even in this very deliberate turning their back on God in our present generation. And friends, we're going to take a little look at scripture here as we see this progression that takes place. And my mind went to two particular passages. One is Romans chapter 1. And starting at verse 21, and I want you, as I read these verses, to think if this is not characteristic of the times in which we live today. It says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And aren't we seeing that today? We've got all the wisdom of the world around us, but how foolish we are. "And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, and covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." They know that the pathway is one toward destruction. It's going to merit out God's judgment, but we don't care. We're going to have pleasure in the way that we wish to go. Isn't that characteristic of our times today? There's another passage I'd like to draw your attention to as well, from 2 Timothy chapter 3. "Because we also see the wickedness in the last days foretold. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous," lovers of silver, "covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy," seeing some of the very same characteristics we saw in Romans chapter 1. "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." It's repulsing to hear for those that are running for elected office to quote from the scriptures and to give this air or this form of godliness, but don't know the God behind those scriptures. The Bible says, "From such turn away." And then also in verse 13 in 2 Timothy 3, it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Aren't we there today? Don't you see that happening around us? If you look around us, it seems like what we've just read in Romans chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3 to be quite characteristic of this generation. We know after many years of indoctrination from our educational elite system today that young people are abandoning any thought of a creator. No, we came from a bang. We came from some primordial soup. And through change agents, we see capitalism is despised while socialism is exalted. Many of you familiar with the article that came out, foxbusiness.com. Many news organizations pick this up. Millennials are increasingly embracing socialism over capitalism, according to a new poll which found that at least 70% of Americans between the ages of 23 and 38 were somewhat likely to cast a vote for a socialist. Conducted by YouGov/Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, the poll also found that only 50% of millennials and 51% of Generation Z, that's ages 16 to 22, have a favorable view of capitalism, a drop from 2018. Comparatively, roughly 33% of millennials view communism favorably, while 35% said they liked Marxism. And so we see this indoctrination that's been going on in our systems today is paying off because young people are going down that pathway of turning from that which is true and biblical and that which has impacted this nation and our world in a positive way and turning their back on that to follow a way of destruction. You know, I saw even during our most recent Thanksgiving celebration the growing push to eradicate the Thanksgiving holiday. You know, we saw the likes of Colin Kaepernick again trying to, he's been trying to have some NFL team show interest in him, but he instead engaged in bashing our country and having an un-Thanksgiving day. I saw as one agency went to a self-proclaimed Christian college in the upper Midwest, student after student indicating that we should not be celebrating Thanksgiving. I thought that was very interesting. WND.com had that story as well as other media picking up on it, but students randomly interviewed at a Christian college, and I put that in quotes, expressed opposition to the celebration of Thanksgiving. At McAllister College in Minnesota, Kyle Hooten, reporting for the College Fix, found students living in the most prosperous and free nation in the history of mankind concerned mainly about oppression and colonization. Is it acceptable to celebrate the holiday? Many students were asked. I watched as many, just kind of beat around the bush or kind of stammered and wondering, well, I don't think so. One student said, I think that Thanksgiving has been misconstrued a lot, especially in textbooks. It's kind of just based off of the genocide of indigenous people, and I don't really think that we actually give thanks on Thanksgiving. We just eat a lot of food, and then he went into an expletive at this so-called Christian college. A few students contended that most American holidays are rooted in oppression. What do Americans do except for celebrate unethical holidays? One student asked. And on it goes, but there's a growing movement to do away with Thanksgiving. And isn't that a characteristic that we saw both in Romans chapter 1 and 2 Timothy 3? Neither were thankful? It's right there in the passage. And yet we are seeing this take place in our society today. We also see in Scripture itself that Judges chapter 2, about a generation that arose that knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Keep in mind what happened at the end of the book of Joshua is we saw the victories that were proclaimed as the children of Israel coming to that promised land, and Joshua proclaiming, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And all the people agreed and said amen, and the generation. But then there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. That's what it says in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, about a generation that arose that knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And this resulted in what we see then in Judges chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. We see then how God brought judgment against these people. Keep in mind, I'm not talking about just all the goings-on that are in the world and outside the church, but what's happening in the church inside the walls of the church also concerning. I received an email from Barna Research just 3 months back, and it said when Barna President David Kinnaman published his 2011 book, You Lost Me, we heard from many people who were shocked to learn that 59% of young people, or of young adults with a Christian background, had dropped out of church and at some point during their 20s, many for just a time, but some for good. 59%. That was 2011. 8 years later, research for Kinnaman's new book, Faith for Exiles, Five Ways for a New Generation to Follow Jesus in Digital Babylon, reveals that the church dropout problem is still a problem. In fact, the percentage of young adult dropouts has increased from 59 to 64%. Nearly two-thirds of United States 18 to 29-year-olds who grew up in church tell Barna they have withdrawn from church involvement as an adult after having been active as a child or a teen. This generation, and I'm not talking again just outside the walls of the church, but what's also happening inside the church as well. Those who are just throwing it all aside and following that broad way that leads toward a pathway that is destructive. Today on Crosstalk, we're going to give you opportunity to call in and just share your greatest concern for this generation. Maybe just finish this phrase. My greatest concern for this generation is. You fill in the gap and pick up your phone and give us a call to comment on this issue today. Our number is 800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. My greatest concern for this generation is. And friends, we see what's unfolding before us, what we see taking place in this world today, how badly this world is in need of a Savior, and how badly it is for us to show that through our light that is the light of the world, Jesus Christ, to shine forth His light into this lost and dying world. And so today here on Crosstalk, let's talk about it. My greatest concern for this generation is. And it may be a scripture verse, it may be something that the Lord lays on your heart to address this issue today, because we have a generation, this present generation, that is turning its back on God, and it's happening right before our very eyes today. In just a few seconds, we're going to be taking a break, and then we're going to be coming back and taking your calls here on this topic today, and have you respond from your perspective, and certainly in light of what scripture talks about. Your greatest concern for this generation. And it's my premise that what we have seen written in Romans chapter 1, what we have seen written in 2 Timothy chapter 3, is so characteristic of the times in which we live. And that's why Paul told Timothy, preach the word, to proclaim it. Let's take a break. We'll come back to your phone calls. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Talking about this generation today on Crosstalk. Back in 1 minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are evolutionists still looking for the missing link?
Actually, Chris, missing links are everywhere in the fossil record. Now, evolutionists say that all animals came from a common ancestor, yet these ancestors are missing and the links between any two basic categories are missing. Missing links are still missing. Evolutionists used to admit that the missing links were a problem, but now they seem just to have stopped talking about them. They now propose the concept of punctuated equilibrium, which says that evolution went in spurts in the past. It went so fast that it left no transitional forms. I think the missing links will forever be missing because they never existed. God created each basic category as that category. They may have adapted to different conditions, but the basic categories got here separately. They were created back in Genesis.
For more on Genesis, visit us on the web at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, talking on the topic today, this generation. And as we set the premise here in the first segment of the program today, would like to hear from you. My greatest concern for this generation is, as we go to the phone lines, taking your comments today, we're going to begin in Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah. My greatest concern for this generation is I think they've been duped in believing that they're an entitled generation. By that I mean I think the media has brainwashed them. I think they've superseded the parental obligation that today's parent, I don't think, is capable of teaching their kids what they ought to know, especially from the Word of God. And consequently, because of either negligence or ineptitude, they have totally gravitated to the media, and the media, to me, is so diabolical that they have totally brainwashed these kids into believing, they are entitled to basically a Bernie Sanders mentality.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your perspective on it. Ron in Tri-Cities, Washington, you're on the air.
Yes, as a substitute teacher, I see how our schools are indoctrinating our kids with our tax money. The only biblical precedent for government schools was when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Israel and took the Hebrew children and made them fluent in the language of the Chaldeans. Unfortunately, that's what's happening to our kids. The pulpits are silent. The parents are absolutely delusional, and they think everything is going great, and I can guarantee you it's not. And if this continues, we're not going to have a country.
Thank you for your call here today. Dave is next in northern Wisconsin. Dave, you're on the air.
Hello. I couldn't help but make the call. My comment is nothing new in regards to the question, your greatest concerns, what I've had for a long time. I think that we have a very inadequate method of transmitting our faith, and we have to develop something new. I think that the pastorate is and the seminaries are an ossified kind of a system, which I can readily understand why people would leave it and not stay with it.
Okay, explain that further. What do you mean by that they are, did you say ostracized?
Ossified. They're archaic. They don't serve the purpose. They don't really do the job that we want to do by transmitting the faith any longer. Mm-hmm. Maybe in times past when you perhaps couldn't read or when Christianity was more to the forefront in people's lives, but today not.
Okay. Thank you for your perspective. I thank the Lord for those institutions and colleges that have stayed the course, but we have seen so many that have claimed to be religious today or claimed to be Christian, and perhaps their founding was that way, but they've drifted off course, just like we're seeing of this generation as well. To Miami, Florida, Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints. And your topic today just goes to show parents, you parents, to be with your kids, your children, more every day with that Word of God. Because the children of Israel, they prayed with their kids. They talked them out of the Word of God. And this is what's happening. Get in that King James Version. When I go out, I ask God, Lord, let your will be done, that I lift up the name of Jesus. And that's what all of us saints should be doing, asking God to guide us and for him to watch over our children. And watch, parents, watch what they're learning in school, even in the back of the books. I'm going to get off now, but I want you all to pray for Phyllis. She passed away on God took her home on Thanksgiving morning, and I told her daughter, what a blessing God gave her because she's with the Lord today, and pray that they find a way to bury their mother. God bless all your sins. And I thank God for hearing you each day because I learned from you. Amen. God bless you now.
Thank you, Courtney, for your call today. My concern, my greatest concern for this generation is, let's go to Jimmy in Kentucky. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yes, I'd like to say that the biggest concern that I have for today's generation is the lack of a biblical worldview and their inability to apply a biblical worldview to today's society and culture. And I would like to call on all parents, pastors and local churches to try to instill that in today's generation so that they can look and assess what's going on out in the world today and apply the Bible to today's situations.
Okay, thank you so much. Building that biblical worldview. So critical.
Absolutely.
Jimmy. Yep, passing it on. And that's what we saw the Apostle Paul talked about, too, in the same epistle, chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 2. He said, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So it's taking that which you have heard, and that's why I'm thankful for Bible colleges and universities and seminaries that have stood the course, that are doing exactly this, that are proclaiming the inerrant truth of God's Word, passing it on to this generation, who then are going out and teaching it and proclaiming it to others as well. Let's go to St. Mary's, West Virginia. Russell, you're on the air.
Yeah, I fear that by not teaching history like they should, we're headed back into the deal where Hitler came to power. They had reasons he came to power. One of them was biased media, and they brainwashed the young people into following him, his ways, his National Socialist, which was the Nazis. And the biggest part of the problem is they're not suffering the little children to come to the Lord. Mm.
Yeah, we're doing everything to keep young people from going to the Lord. We're going out of our way to be sure that they don't hear a Christmas carol that talks about the meaning of the season. I mean, we're going to all ends to keep that from happening. And but you hit a good point there, Russell. Thank you.
It's scary.
Yeah. Let's go to another West Virginian, and this is Al in Bridgeport, West Virginia. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And I want to reach out to Brother Courtney. It's always a pleasure to hear him on the radio. Hey, Jim, I'm worried about the salvation of these youngsters. You know, they're all being indoctrinated. We're all thinking the same way of what's going on. There's a certain war in the young person's mind, and unfortunately, I think they're winning it. But, you know, it's where we're going, brother. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's just so shocking. You know, I was brought up, you know, I was born a Catholic, brought up nothing. I was married a Methodist and saved a Baptist. And brother, I tell you what, it's all about the blood of Jesus and his spirit and everybody. And man, without that, you know, the whole world's in trouble.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Al, for your call. My greatest concern for this generation is, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Yet another call from West Virginia. This is Farmington, West Virginia. Ken, you're on the air.
Yes. Hey, Jim, thank you so much for taking my call. Hey, I really appreciate this radio station. It's really an encouragement to me on a personal level. But with that, I wanted to mention my greatest concern is that people don't know their own Bible on a personal level. They don't study their own Bible for themselves. They trust in what preachers are saying and go out the door the same way they came in. Like Hosea, you know, it says, "Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein." And that's the last verse that Hosea, the last word that Hosea gave us, going back to the same thought with Elijah, how long halt you between two opinions?
Yes, yeah.
If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal, serve him. People aren't making up their mind to say, hey, this is what's right for me. On an individual, personal level, they receive Christ as personal Savior. They need to live for God the same way and let the Spirit lead them, like Courtney was saying, down from Florida, the brother from there, the very wise man. And it's really good to know that you can follow the Lord on a personal level, regardless of what the entire world does around you. And you can think of all the men that stood alone, like Noah, like Jeremiah, like Daniel, and know that God's ways always work. And that's just my burden for the people of this generation, the young people, to see that they can do that.
You know, Ken, the Bereans were commended in Acts 17:11.
Right, more noble. Right.
They searched the scriptures.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Thank you so much for the call.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your show.
Amen. And, you know, they received the word with readiness, but they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Is what we're hearing today, is it consistent with the biblical truth of God's word? And as you pointed out, we need to be in God's word. Zane is calling from Stone Creek, Ohio. You're on the air.
My biggest concern of my generation, of Generation Z, is just how ignorant my generation really is. You know, we go through life and we really don't know the truth, and a lot of us don't know God, and it's really sad because I have to watch my generation, you know, as we get older and have kids, you know, they won't be teaching their kids about God, so it's, you know, people like me will have to, you know, try to be a light and try to teach them.
Amen. Amen. Zane, and don't grow weary in well-doing. Stay the course.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Phoenix, Arizona. Flo is on the air. Go ahead, Flo.
Hi, I'm really concerned about this. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. And in my study notes, let me read to you about drifting away. It says, the drift toward compromise and call it tolerance. We drift toward disobedience and call it freedom. We drift toward superstition and call it faith. We cherish the indiscipline of lost control, self-control, and call it relaxation. We slouch toward prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking we have escaped legalism. We slide toward godlessness and convince ourselves we have been liberated. As if this was taken from a D.A. Carson book in For the Love of God. And so by not studying the scriptures and walking this, living this life, is so easy for what is not being taught now.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be like the world and, you know, act like them. And the Bible talks about that, what happens.
Indeed. Thank you, Flo.
We're to be careful.
Thank you, Flo. Appreciate your call.
I appreciate you, too. Thank you. God bless you.
Bye-bye now. Walt is calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. You're on the air, Walt.
Hi. One of my greatest concerns for this generation is the lack of teaching about tithing and offering. I'm afraid they're missing out on the blessings of having faith in God and trusting Him for their finances. And my fear is that the churches and the support that they need from the members in order to stay open and teach the gospel.
Amen, Walt. And God addressed that also in Malachi about being robbed of tithes and offerings. And certainly we are ought to be giving with that free will out of a hilarious spirit to give cheerfully as unto the Lord.
That's correct.
Thank you for the call. Jack in Watertown, South Dakota, you're on the air.
I'd have to say it's simply a distraction. We're always distracted with cell phones, Netflix, and digital things. We're distracted from things that really matter.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Thank you for your call here today. And don't we have all the world's wisdom right there at our fingertips? I mean, we can put in a search engine anything and we'll get up millions of hits on those issues. We're so wise, folks. We're foolish. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls here as we continue this topic today about this generation and asking you your greatest concern for this generation. And certainly we see the characteristics of what we read earlier in Romans chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3 as being very characteristic of our times, and giving you opportunity to share your concern. And certainly we know that the answer is the truth. It is the truth of God's Word. Back in a minute.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel according to John as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel, presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on 2 CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and it's more commentary on the times in which we live and the things that we are seeing unfold before us today, and commenting on this generation and asking you, what is your greatest concern for this generation? Back to the phone lines to Sardinia, Ohio. Linda, you're on the air.
Yes, this I got a DVD of the Creation Museum from the church, and at the very beginning of it, it says, in 1925, during the Scope Trials, the Christians compromised their beliefs in a new earth, and evolution got into the schools, and then it's there today. That was in 1925. Since then, they have put prayer out, the Bible out, the Ten Commandments out, any mention of God or Jesus Christ, and our generations have, since then, have been indoctrinated with all this other worldly stuff and nothing about Christianity, because there's more people in the, where I live, that families that don't go to church, and than those that do.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, anyway, it's the schools, and I thought that by this time the people, especially parents, would realize this and start doing something about what they're teaching our children in the schools.
Thank you, Linda, for your comments today. Next to Pensacola, and Don is on the air. Go ahead, Don.
Yes, my perspective with this current generation is they seem to be obsessed with several things. One is themselves. Secondly, where do I fit in the paradigm LGBT or Q? They're lost without Jesus Christ. They're having an identity crisis. Who am I? They're wondering. Who is God? Am I God? Who is Jesus? Is Jesus God or just a false prophet? They need to stay in the, they need to get in the King James Bible and read John chapter 3 until they know for sure, 100%, if they died, they're going to heaven and be a true Christian and a follower of the Lord.
Thank you, Don. John in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
I guess the thing I would say is a dumbing down, and I've seen this. I'm 67, and I'm thinking, okay, who, what generation is it, the 18 or whatever? I've seen people in their 50s and maybe even in their 60s who have not learned anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just people who are dumbed down, and people who are dumbed down are easily controlled. And I also see parents, I guess if I can say a second thing, parents who don't want to be parents, but they want to be their children's friends. And, you know, you have to have a discipline or something to follow. And not a friend, a friend, a friend. If my parents were my friends, I wouldn't, I needed their discipline. I really did.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's something that's lacking. Yeah. And I think evils like the social media and everything, oh my gosh, it's horrible. So those are my thoughts, and I'll shut up so somebody else can get on. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, John, for your thoughts
today.
Thank you again. And my concern for this generation is, Eddie, in Glasgow, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call, Jim. My biggest concern for this generation is that they're living lives that are, I guess you could say, Christless. They don't have time for God. They're too busy texting, too busy talking, too busy chasing after dollar bills. And you know, if you miss Christ, like Jesus said, you'd be better off never to have been born. But my biggest concern about this generation, a lot of people have a Christless Christmas this year.
Yeah.
They don't even know what to celebrate. They have no idea that it's about the birth of Christ. I know he wasn't born December 25th, but you better believe I'm going to celebrate his birth. There was no room for him in the inn. They tried to kill all that may have possibly been him, and the same spirit of Antichrist is going on today. And I believe people are disconnected as far as Jesus Christ is concerned.
Yeah. Thank you, Eddie.
God bless you, brother.
And you as well. Bye-bye. And Elise in Oregon, you're on the air.
Yes, my greatest concern for this generation is that while we have so much available in terms of learning about God, learning about the Bible, learning about Christ Jesus and our salvation, is that we're going to lose not only our country under its constitutional rule of law, but also that the freedom to even explore these ideas of God or the Bible will be gone. Hmm. Reagan once said, freedom is fragile. It must be fought for and maintained by future generations. For those who had it and let it go, it was lost and have never got it back again as a nation. It must be maintained by each generation or be lost. It is not just one generations, but even by one generation, we're one generation away from being lost. Now, that was when Reagan was alive. What do you think has happened when people don't even recognize that Thanksgiving is about being thankful to whom? Mm-hmm. To God,
yeah.
Not to a turkey. Now, Christmas is not about the accumulation of what you get, but the love of God that was made real to us in the birth of his Son,
yes.
Who came to be our Savior. That is what Christmas is about. And we have already lost that. How fragile is our freedom to even be able to worship as we so see fit? And if we're not careful, and this generation isn't careful, because they're not even looking for this.
Right.
They're looking for things that have nothing to do with God. And so they will have it lost, not because it's taken from them, but because they gave it up. And that's what I'm afraid of.
Annalise, thank you for your call here today. You said so many things, so on point, and we appreciate you taking time to call.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. Bye-bye. Haskell in Jamestown, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I want to thank you for everything you do to get the truth out there and everything, and your work you do for the Lord. I just want to say that lady hit the nail on the head a few minutes ago. The biggest concern for my generation, for this new generation, is our generation. We're the ones that dropped the ball and created this mess and allowed the abortionists and the homosexual agenda and everybody to take over. And, you know, they just don't, this new generation growing up, they just don't got a chance.
Yeah.
You know, and I know there's our generation, the Christians, has been run over by the non-Christians, and, you know, we've just dropped the ball somewhere, letting God get took out of the schools and everything, and, you know, that's my comment, brother.
Great. Thank you, Haskell. Appreciate it so much. Merle in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, my biggest concern for this generation is that they're so open to deception. In a recent poll, 7 out of 10 favored socialism, 3 out of 10 favored communism.
Yeah.
And in socialism and communism, there's no room for God.
Yeah.
We need to pray like we've never prayed, Jim, and thank you for all you do.
Amen. God bless you, Merle. Debbie, in Zanesville, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes. They're not reading the Bible, and they're not praying.
Yeah. You're so right. That's a great concern. And the question is, are we modeling it? Are we modeling it to this generation? And I'm not talking about just Sundays. Are we modeling it throughout the week? Are we in God's Word? Are we praying? Are we having that close relationship with the Lord? Brad in West Allis, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. What I fear for this generation, I fear for any generation. Because right now, people think they're really intelligent.
Yeah.
They keep being told over and over again, this is the smartest we've ever been and all that. Well, you know what? They go around and call themselves Christians, and they say, well, I've repented of sin, and I'm under his blood. You know, they repent of some actions or thoughts that they've had. But their worldview seems to stay the same. They'll say, I'm a Christian but this, or I'm a Christian but that. Like, do you believe in evolution? Well, that means God is a liar. Do you love what he hates, like abortion or euthanasia? That's murder. He hates that. Do you curse Israel with your mouth? Are you in favor of the Islamists who want to push Israel into the sea? God loves Israel. You're not making the grade with that. That just because you say you're a Christian and you're under the blood, that doesn't mean that it's true. Are you in favor of some form of Marxism, like socialism? That's coveting, stealing, and, as history shows, mass murder. You don't get to make the rules. The Bible, like Ken Ham says, the Bible is, or should at least should be, our thinking in every area of life.
Mm-hmm.
You do not get to choose a worldview that is opposed to what God loves.
We're living the one at a time, Brad, of the yeah buts. Yeah, God said this, but. And so often we have that same question. Yea, hath God said? Did God really say that? Is this really what he meant? You know, the Bible says this, but I never heard Jesus say those exact words. And that's the type of generation we're living in. We need to get back to the authority of God's word.
Yeah, well, the entire Bible is God's word.
Indeed.
It's the written word of God, and Jesus is the living word of God.
Yeah.
They agree.
Amen. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Even as Pastor David Brown was with us last week, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God's Word, as he said, tells us what is right, what is not right, how to get right, how to stay right. And as Brad was talking about, yeah, that we're so wise in this, all the wisdom, but Scripture says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness unto God. Anne is our next caller from Milwaukee. You're on the air, Anne.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My biggest concern for this generation is they're just throwing away their inheritance in heaven to be men pleasers. Pleasers of men, it says in the Word of God, we're not to be pleasers of men.
Mm-hmm.
We are to please God and Jesus Christ who died on the cross to save us from eternal damnation.
Yeah.
So they're just trying so hard to be pleasers of men, and they're throwing everything away that God has promised for them. And I thank you for taking my call. God bless all of you.
Thank you. Oh, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Susan in Muskego, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a comment just with this generation as well, with the LGBTQ option that they have out there. There is nothing that even mentions straight, heterosexual, you know, relationships that's not even a choice. So it's, these kids are growing up very confused. They don't even have the label or option to even be, growing up in a relationship that would honor the Lord. So that's just my comment that, you know, they're magnifying the other, you know, options and not what God would desire for them. It's not even a choice.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you.
You're
for
welcome.
The call. And to Glendale, Arizona. Patricia, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. My greatest concern is that so many of the people sitting in the pews of our church think that the pastor is the only one that's to present the gospel message. Mm. And I believe that each of us have a testimony. We don't have to know our Bible completely word for word, but we do have the testimony of what Christ did for us, just like the woman at the well. And we can share our testimony, and we'd be surprised how many people will listen to that message.
Yeah, amen. Thank you for that. As Scripture says, do the work of an evangelist. Also in Corinthians, talking about now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Not some of you, those who know Christ as Savior, you're an ambassador for Christ. How's your representation going? We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk. Have a couple open lines. Our number 800-733-9829. My greatest concern for this generation is, again, that's 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. There is indeed an information warfare going on in the United States of America to change the worldview and the values and the conduct of Americans. This is being done in many ways. One is to take American values and make them un-American, to define them as being hateful, racist, bigoted. There was a time when all Americans, regardless of race, color, creed, or political affiliation, would agree on set American values. We agreed there were certain values that were absolutely necessary to maintain our constitutional republic. Those values must be destroyed in the hearts and minds of Americans if our constitutional republic is to be destroyed. Thus, American values are now being redefined as conservative values, Christian values, racist values. This is how you destroy a nation. Remove its values from the common playing field.
We'll be right back. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today is this generation, and giving you opportunity to share your greatest concern for this generation. Right back to the phone lines. Racine, Wisconsin. Christine, you're on the air.
Hi. My greatest concern for this generation is that Christianity has an utter lack of discernment. It's a mind-numbing lack of discernment, and I know that's because the Word is really not something that's paramount in even Christians' lives. And I know that we don't have to be Bible scholars, but if we believe the Word, we will study and we will show ourselves approved, mm-hmm. so we actually can witness. And witnessing is done by 2-3% of Christians, and the other caller called it very well as far as being men pleasers. I know every Christian that I seem to know, well, especially like in my workplace, they're terrified of being unliked, and not that we want to be ugly, or we want to be winsome, but the Word itself is an offense, and to bring that up will make you absolutely, and you're anathema right there. So that's not done.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
I'm mindful that friendship with the world is enmity against God. Esther, in Foley, Alabama, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling to say that my greatest concern is that before it's too late, we would see a major revival of the Holy Spirit, bringing the Spirit of truth to this generation. And as they see the effects of living sinful lives that they've been deluded by in the system, that they would be teachable and come to the truth and know the truth, and the truth would set them free.
Amen. Thank you, Esther. Laura, in Green Bay, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. My greatest concern for this generation is that many Christians who think that they're Christians are going to these churches and are listening to these prosperity preachers preaching to them that just want to be happy. They're going to these churches, and it's like a cafeteria. They pick and choose what they want, and they're not being told the truth. And unfortunately, today's society, a lot of people, their bellies are full, and their minds are empty. They're flowing by their emotions and their feelings, and they're unable to think for themselves. And my concern is that many of those Christians who believe in believism, where somebody prayed over them, think that they're saved when they're really not. And it's because they're being preached a different gospel, when it's the blood of Jesus Christ that covered our sins is the only way for our salvation.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Laura. We have Joanne from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hello, Jim. I just wanted to say that my greatest concern is for the really young kids who are in public school right now, and yet have Christian parents that don't back up or see what their kids are learning. I have a nephew that he's 10 years old, and every time I see him, he has a new socialist agenda, like, or something. Like, he says that he wants to buy a rainforest in South America so that he can make it into reservation to help all the wildlife to stay, and he wants to knock off all the farmers and everything, and then that we all should, you know, go and live in the skyscrapers in big cities, mm-hmm. because there's plenty of room, you know, that millions of people can go and live in those skyscrapers. And it just breaks my heart every time to share them, like, you know, if we're supposed to have our own property, you know, and it's just, it's brainwashing, and then such confusion, because then he hears the Christian perspective from his parents, and like, well, there's no way that the world could be over 6,000 years old, because otherwise we won't be able to survive the universe and all these kind of things. It's so sad. It breaks my heart to hear all the confusion that this generation coming up is just being bombarded with.
Joanna, thank you for your call here today. James in Corbin, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes, my concern about this generation is every time I talk to people about what it says in the Bible, it's all about, I think this, I think that. It don't matter what you think. It's all a matter about what the Word of God is.
Yeah.
And another thing is, they claim to be 75 million Christians in the United States. If everybody really believed what the Word of God said, they wouldn't vote one socialist Democrat in order to put these laws in for all this nonsense that's going on, everything against the Bible.
Thank you, James.
Yeah, that's all good. Thank you.
Appreciate your call. Tony in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, my greatest concern for this generation is you know, back in the past, I feel that the parents have lost the right to punish their children, not to an extreme extent, but there needs to be a definite strength of the parentinghood where you need to guide your children. If you can't punish your children, if you can't teach them right from wrong, then that's a big problem.
Thank you. Yep. The scripture talks about bringing children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that's training, and then it's seeing that training and instruction is carried out. Gabrielle in Viroqua, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hello. So I guess my greatest concern is this generation is so distracted with themselves and with just being sexually obsessed and obsessed with, like, fashion and just the petty things of the world that they are not realizing the trends that the Bible has prophesied and that they are coming true and that they have been coming true for all this time. It says in Revelation that men's hearts will fail them for fear of what will come upon the earth. There are so many, I don't know if you've heard of who Steve Quayle is, but he has been studying little creatures of the earth and, you know, how the Bible talks about giants in Genesis 6, and how the Bible prophesies that they are coming back and that we are literally going to have to be at war with these things. And
Gabriel, thank you for the call. I'm out of time here in the program, and appreciate the feedback that sharing your perspective here as well. The Word of God is truth, and we need to trust it. We're to search the Scriptures. We are to study the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And I just want to close with this passage from Revelation 3. And unto the church of the Laodiceans, right, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I would spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have not need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He says, I counsel thee. He tells him to repent. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Something we need to follow here today. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.